Now, the rest of the story. Shortly before 6:30 in the evening, a man boarded a homebound train. It was to be a long and uncomfortable ride. His traveling companions went into the dining car for an enjoyable meal, but he stretched out in the drawing room and tried to rest, without success. There, with his eyes closed beneath a cold, moist towel, he recalled a busy day of meetings. The memories, even those recent ones, were disjointed and strangely distorted. He had made a speech that day, that much he remembered clearly. Too clearly, because he had muffed it, he had left out some things, and he had substituted others. Had his audience understood his intentions, he wondered. His remarks were bound to draw criticism. Had only his brain been less cloudy, but even now, as the steel wheels hammered the tracks below, his mind grew even more foggy. Returning from dinner, his friends began to realize just how sick he was. He had been tired, they had noticed. He had been unsteady all day, but now whatever it was coming to a head. He spoke very little during the rest of the trip. It was midnight when they reached home. The man was rushed to his own bed. A doctor was summoned. It was only a cold, somebody said, a touch of fever. But it's taken until now for us to learn the rest of the story. Smallpox. The real culprit. He had smallpox. All that day the man had been coming down with smallpox. Oh, I know, they called it varioloid back then, but it was smallpox nevertheless. In his sick bed, the patient tried to stay lighthearted. There's one good thing about this, he told a friend. I now have something I can give everybody. Regarding the extent to which his illness affected his judgment, we can only imagine. This much we know. The speech the patient had given, well, the speech was not very well received. Afterward, it was greeted with barely polite applause. Those who had heard it were not reluctant to express their disappointment. Most of the newspapers ignored it. Others annihilated it. The Chicago Times was among the most scathing in its criticism. The Chicago Times called it, quote, ignorant rudeness, called it, quote, an offensive exhibition of boorishness and vulgarity. And after that publication really got mean. And the speaker himself, of course, he felt terrible about the entire thing. As a matter of fact, immediately after giving the speech, he had turned to a friend and himself called it a flat failure, so he didn't blame the newspapers for their response. He didn't know the real problem at the time, nor did they, but now you and I do. The man was sick. He was reeling under an attack of smallpox. Otherwise, would he ever have expressed himself so inadequately? Would he ever have disappointed the world so with such a failure of a speech as... with such a failure of a speech as the Gettysburg Address. I know, in school you were taught that one day, late in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln delivered the most famous speech in American history, but now you know the rest of the story.